Talk Breakfast. The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall. Radio City Talk.
You've somehow found your way to Radio City Talk. We're on the medium wave on 1548 and also on your DAB radio and on your smartphone app if you're clever enough. But thank you for joining us anyway. Mark Quayle always joins us on a Wednesday morning. He's always chirping. Morning, Quayle.
Good morning.
Dave Downey rarely joins us, but he has this morning. Here's a few of your headlines. Well done to Tranmere last night. They got a 1-0 win over Gateshead, and they've gone to third in the table, so 2 points behind Lincoln, who are top of the pile now. I'd just seen the Daily Star. This completely avoided me, but I presume you would have known about this little byline here. National League side Chester have appointed ex-Scotland striker Chris Iwuolumo. I can never say his name.
Iwuolumo.
Iwuolumo?
Iwuolumo.
Iwuolumo.
Yeah.
Well, he said.
Is it who?
Iwuolumo.
Iwuolumo. As their assistant manager.
It begins with an I, doesn't it?
It's an I, isn't it?
Iwuolumo.
Iwuolumo.
Do you know him?
Do you know him?
I don't know him personally, but
He's been in here. He's a very nice chap.
The greatest miss you've ever seen.
Yes, I've seen
him. In football?
Yeah. The greatest miss.
Really?
And the greatest bit of commentary you'll ever hear as well.
Yeah. By, what's a TV commentator?
Two Scottish guys who do the radio.
Right.
And it's just brilliant. It's so, so good. Please YouTube it and watch it. It's the best commentary you'll ever hear in your life, other than Steve's, of course.
Well, good luck to him anyway. He's the assistant manager of Chester now. Just quickly going to Ben Woodburn again. Of course, he scored last night, but if you'd seen the game, about 10 minutes prior to that, he had a shot on goal which went out for a throw-in. You know, he had one of those moments. No one's talking about that this morning.
Sliced one.
No, but it just shows you can go from the ridiculous to the absolute heroic moment, can't you?
Yeah.
Well done, young Ben. Now, there are plenty of youngsters that are sort of knocking on the door, aren't there, at different clubs. So at what stage do you give a 17-year-old the chance to shine? Do you have to know he's sort of mentally right? Is it literally your last chance saloon if your whole squad is thin and you're thinking, is that all I can use?
I honestly believe that that's the way it is. I'm not saying players will never get through, but players won't develop rapidly unless there's a pathway which is created either by a team not having the strength in their first team or a team being depleted by suspension, injury. And going back to Michael Owen, I think, if I remember roughly correctly, around about the time, I think Robbie Fowler was suspended for his debut, I think Nigel Clough and Ian Rush were there, so that, you know, players come to the end of their careers, that kind of thing. I think Colin Moore was possibly there or thereabouts, having his issues. And at the same time, at Chelsea, who at that time had gone on a real splurge, they had, I think Mark Hughes was kind of still just at the edge of his prime, similar to Rush, I suppose. Tor-Andre Flo, Casiraghi, Franco Zola, and Michael Owen at Chelsea at that time would have seen a pathway filled with, gilted sort of stars from across the continent. Yeah. It would have been a difficult task at Chelsea, compared to what he had at Liverpool. So, you know, sometimes these things need the stars to align, and other times it can just happen. And the thing last night is that this is just something that will now stick in not just the fans' minds, obviously, but the managers, most importantly, and it may just help going forward. But I struggle to see at this moment in time that you're going to see him on a regular basis for a number of years.
You can have a brilliant bow, can't you? But it doesn't mean that you're going to be a superstar of the future. We've seen lots of them. I've seen them at Liverpool. Players like, and they're not necessarily strikers, but Jerome Sinclair was a striker. Yeah. Where's he now? Is he at Watford? I don't know. He's gone somewhere, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Even if you went back and you looked at the likes of John Otsemabor when he burst on the scene, and everyone said, hey, he's going to be amazing. He was gone after I don't know how many games. Who's the other lads when Flanagan started at right back? Who was the left back at the time?
It was Wilson.
Robinson.
It was Wilson. Robinson. As well, wasn't he?
There was Wilson. Yeah. Wilson went back up to Scotland.
You look at all these supposed
superstars who actually don't,
no fault of their own, by the way. And that's the problem, isn't it?
Well, this is what I'm saying. And, you know, people go on about Man United's class of 92, but the timing was perfect. And subsequently, I think they've gone through numerous academy directors or coaches, and they're looking for this formula. And people keep sort of carrying the can and taking the blame. Similar thing to a degree. At Liverpool, they had a generation where, you know, Owen became established, Fowler became established, Steven Gerrard makes the Liverpool team. There's no midfielder for the next 10 years going to come through at 17 or 18 and displace a player like that, you know, a once-in-a-generation player. So what happens then is all the midfielders, or I say in general, will fall by the wayside, you know?
Yeah, I think I think these days, the best you can hope for, if I was 16, 17, 18 and I'm at a Premier League club now, Quayle's absolutely right. I think the stars have to align. There's so many obstacles and you need them to fall right so you can get by them. The thing I'd do now if I was a club is set the right environment. I think that's the best thing you can do, which, like, you look at Southampton, people are talking about this conveyor belt of talent that they've got. Well, their young lads are getting in simply because of injuries. There's no relative alternatives, but nonetheless, the academy structure there stays the same. So, therefore, they're still producing these starlets. They put the onus on the manager to pick them.
Radio City Talk Breakfast. The kick-off with Steve Hothersall. Radio City Talk.
Let's reflect on a historic night at Anfield for one reason in particular, with the Liverpool Echo's LFC correspondent and editor, Andy Kelly. Morning to you, Andy.
Morning, Steve. How are you, mate?
Great, thank you. The paper's absolutely covered in young Ben Woodburn this morning. We won't forget the other lads like Ovie Ejaria as well, and Trent Alexander-Arnold. But let's start with Ben Woodburn and the night itself. Piece of Liverpool history there.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I think loads of people who were there last night may reflect in years to come. You know, I remember seeing the young lad Woodburn score his first goal. We very much hope that's the case, of course. And, there was plenty of people off their seats in the press box last night when he, drew back his right foot and volleyed that one in. And there's been so much hype already around Ben Woodburn, and you have to be careful. And we've seen the manager, of course, try to take the pressure off him, but it's difficult, as he says now, to keep him under wraps. He's someone I first spotted, playing on Kirby in a game last year, and you asked the question about him, and everyone's always a little bit straight-laced because they don't want to give too much away about him. But he'd always looked like a real classy player, and of course everything seems to come easy to him, doesn't it? And there was just last night there was no worrying when he was coming on. All you could see was the smile on his face, and of course to get a goal in front of the cop, Steve. At his age. And an important goal as well at the time, because it's you're putting Liverpool into a semi-final, effectively going 2-0 up there at that stage with 10 minutes left. So fantastic night, the youngest ever scorer for Liverpool, and what a player to take the record off young Ben's from Chester over in Tattenhall there. And of course it was another Chester lad in Michael Owen who he's taken the record off. So there was just loads of little things like that which made it wasn't a great game overall if you look at it in the round, but just made it that little bit extra special.
I just love the way he finished it. The sheer way he lashed at the ball. You could have done it in a variety of ways, but it was almost, I know people are talking about the Owen comparisons, but the way he finished that was more sort of Fowler-esque to me. It was just sort of raw power.
You know what? You must have been right. My analysis last night, exactly what I said.
Right.
It was, and it was interesting. Like yesterday was 15 years since Fowler left Liverpool to go to Leeds. Obviously, two teams who were playing. So there was that was another little quirk of the game. And it was just. I mean, it's the sort of goal we'd all love to have, in the sense that it wasn't very far out. Some credit to Wijnaldum for a nice little layoff. But there it is. It's sat up a treat. But he's got to get some elevation on it, hasn't he? Because the defender's sliding across. If he just puts that, side foot in, it's getting blocked by the defender. The keeper's coming across, so it's welly right into the top of the cop net. And the sheer... He's even got a brilliant celebration, hasn't he? Because, that sheer joy on his face as he ran off was just... it was magnificent to be there to share. It was a real magic moment, I thought. And, for all that Jurgen Klopp said afterwards, I think I could probably have scored it. I think it was actually, there was a little bit more to do than, initially it looked like. But, credit to the lad. He'd got 2 minutes on Saturday, hadn't he? And then, a bit over 20 minutes last night, and it was classic Woodburn, really. We hadn't seen a lot of him in the game. He'd just done things neat and tidy, and then when the moment came, he was in the right place at the right time, and that's been the thing with him as he's come through the age groups. He doesn't have massive physical attributes that you would point to. He's not massively quick. He's quick enough, but he's not massively quick. He doesn't have huge size. You can see from him that he's still a very slight lad. It'd be interesting to see if he grows anymore. But, everything about him is about movement and being in the right place at the right time and having, good skills and very tidy on the ball. So it'll be interesting to see, what Jurgen Klopp decides to do with him for the rest of the season.
Radio City Talk. The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall. Back tomorrow from 7.
Ped from the Blue Room is with me. Morning to you, Ped.
Good morning.
Dave Downey was just telling me about his preparations for the Santa Dash at the weekend. So he's donning a Santa outfit. He wanted a blue one, but there's none left. So he's wearing red. This has distressed him. And I sort of thought, no. You probably wouldn't wear a red one, would you?
Wouldn't need.
Are you in that category, course, are you? Yeah. You're that bothered about wearing something red, you wouldn't wear a red Santa outfit.
And I heard the fellow before from BTR.
Alan Rothwell, yeah.
Right. Red is not the traditional Christmas.
Of course it is.
No, it's not. Let's get this right. It's a marketing tool by Coca-Cola. The original Christmas suit was green.
Was Coca-Cola not about when Santa was first?
No, he wasn't.
Oh, come on. It was created
by Coca-Cola. It was originally green. So let's get that right.
Well, Santa should be in all green.
Yes.
Not red.
And that's not anything about... That's not me being bitter and all this. That's the actual colour. It's green and white. It's not red and white. That's Coca-Cola.
He'd look like an elf if he was all in green.
Well, there you go. That's where the elves. The fashion line got passed down the line.
But they're underneath Santa. He's red. He's red, but David's...
He's green.
David's wearing red this week. I'm having a picture of this.
More fool him, then.
Devout blue, I just David.
Give me money over to them and say, sorry, thanks, but no thanks.
It's all for a good cause. By the way, he was being serious, There are a load of Evertonians who won't wear the red outfit.
I would be one of them.
He's so bitter.
It's not about being bitter. It's about supporting your team. When did rivalry become bitterness? Why can't you be rivals? Why does this word bitter always come into it?
Well, I'd wear blue if there wasn't a red one. I'd be quite happy.
Yeah, but you're not a real red though, are you?
Why not?
You love tennis more than you love football. Let's be honest. So let's be honest.
I love lots of sports. Right, let's talk about Everton and. Can he fix it, says Christian Walsh in today's Echo. And a big picture of Ronald Koeman. Can he fix it? Can he tighten up the defence? Can he give some youngsters a go? Can he stamp his authority, says Christian? I think he can stamp his authority, can't he?
Do you know, tighten up the defence, I don't really buy into that because I think the defence this season has been pretty solid. I think what you're seeing on Sunday, it's more... the alertness and the sharpness of the whole team in the early part of games. And that Sunday was, that showed to the maximum of just the team. We haven't started well once yet this season. We start all games very, very slow. So it's more about getting to the bottom of that kind of thing.
I don't understand that. No, starting
I don't.
Slow.
And that, but that's
you're
been...
starting a football game. You've been rested for 4 days in preparation. How can you start slow? What is the...
It's the old classic, Sunday league shout, we haven't got out of bed yet, isn't it? That's what it is. It's a strange one, but it's not something new. It happened on the Martinez as well. In fact, I think last season we had a game against Swansea home and we didn't touch the ball for 3 minutes. And you think about how long 3 minutes is in football. We didn't touch the ball for 3 minutes, first 3 minutes. So it's something that has been at the club for a while. And that to me is that's a hunger, that's a desire. There's a stat going around at the moment that's, out of the Premier League clubs, I think Everton are 16th or 17th of hardest workers. I think that says a hell of a lot about this side. They're just a lazy side. And he wants them to do something and they clearly haven't taken it on board. And that's where... I think you've got to start asking questions of the manager. Why isn't he pushing this further to the point where he said he was waiting for a reaction after the Chelsea game? Well, where's the reaction? Surely that reaction has to come from the manager in terms of who he picks, because there's a couple of players now, maybe even more, that you look at now and you think, nah, your time's come and gone now. Now it's time for some of the younger players to be given a go. And
so do you do wholesale changes or do you just move them one at a time?
I don't think you can do wholesale changes because Everton just don't have the squad. And in fact, the players on the bench have had enough of a chance themselves and haven't done anything. You look at the right-hand side, Deulofeu, Morales, Aaron Lennon have all been given a chance this season and done nothing with that chance. So maybe it's there's a couple of things you can do. Maybe the formation needs changing. Well, I say maybe. I know for a fact there'll be probably 75% of Evertonians listening who absolutely hate this 4-5-1. It's absolute nonsense. We've got one of the best strikers up front for us in Europe, and we all know what he can do. We all know what he can't do.
He looks lazy himself, by the way.
Well, he is lazy.
I watched the game.
He is lazy.
Weekend.
He is lazy. But
his looks like an attitude, a real attitude.
I don't think it's an attitude. I just think it's the way he plays football. I've asked people a little bit older than me, and I said, well, Gary Lineker, what did he do for most of the game? And they go, nothing. He just finished, put the ball in the back of the net. And I think Rom's a little bit like that.
So you can have that as a luxury if the rest of the team are absolutely superb, can't you?
Or you give them a partner. And this is something I think Everton need to do. They need to give them a partner. And I know something people have said to me is, we haven't got anyone to play up front with them.
Radio City Talk. The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall. Back tomorrow from 7:00.